Hey family, welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm Luke, and joining us today from the river is Dr. Littlefield. Welcome.
Thank you, Luke. It's good to be here.
It was really cool getting to hear from you on Sunday. You know, a lot of people when they come to church, like I brought some friends to church before, and when I'm showing them around and then they see that we have a clinic, they're like, you always have a clinic, and they're always blown away by that. So it was really cool to hear from Kim and then also from you about how the Lord really birthed this, and all we had to do is just be willing, and God provides the pieces that are needed to accomplish the vision that he has.
Yeah, even for me on Sunday, it was a reminder of the fact that God designed this. You know, yes. It was, there's a longer story behind how Kim described mm-hmm. this prophetic vision that John had
right.
that lasted
right.
for a couple of years, that she would say, you know, just bring me an ER doc and I'll let it happen. And then just, you know, coincidence in quotes, she finishes her job. And that very same day, God calls me out of the ER. I'm on the way home and
that's
says,
amazing.
I want you to leave now.
Wow.
I didn't know how. And, you know, that 2 days later, I'm meeting with Kim and Zach and Ashley. It was just clear that God was doing something here. Mm-hmm. And to see that was going on, you know, 2 years or more behind scenes.
Right.
And God was working in my life there and over here and bringing us together. We'd never met. I'd never been to HBC. It's just cool to see how God is working here, even when we don't know it.
Amen. And so you're saying, like, you know, even 2 years or more behind the scenes. Could you tell us a little bit more about your background? Like, how did you get involved in becoming a doctor? Is that something you'd always wanted since you were young? Or what was that journey for you?
Yeah, I think like every little boy, I wanted to be a fireman or a policeman first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, early in life, I was attracted to science and liked biology. And the thought of being able to help people was there. Yeah. And it would just kind of came naturally out of that desire to go to college. And, mm-hmm. and I actually had trouble. I came from a small town high school, went to college, did well at high school, really struggled in college.
Okay.
And wow. My grades were not good enough. I didn't get into med school.
Not those doctor
and,
grades.
The doctor grades. Yeah. So I became a paramedic and worked as a paramedic for a few years, and then reapplied to med school, got into med school. But what it, even that, I just look at as almost a providence of God, who actually I did not know at the time. So I became a Christian just before my first year of med school.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so through that, I went to medical school with my paramedic background. ER was kind of a natural for me.
Right,
and,
right. Yep.
And so I became an emergency physician, worked in the area for 25 years,
yeah.
and was doing great. And probably a few months before he called me out of emergency medicine, I was not doing so great. I was really having a hard time. Was kind of through the COVID period.
Yes.
And it was I really struggled with kind of the authenticity or mm-hmm. the truth in medicine, and seeing some of those organizations that I had trusted. Maybe it wasn't all
what is cracked out to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of struggling, and then God met me and said, "Hey, I want you to stay here in the ER," and totally changed my heart. I was doing well, and then a month and a half later, I hear him on the way home say, "Okay, time to leave." And I'm thinking,
wow.
I thought he's saying, "Okay, retire," but the next day he gave me the vision for a medical clinic that had him at the center.
That's amazing. And then, how did you get connected with Kim?
So my wife had met Lilia. She had been to the church once and heard Lilia speak, and they had talked about the fact that the church had this vision of a medical clinic,
right.
but they needed
yes.
a doctor. So Maggie, my wife, had taken Lilia's number. Maggie told me about it. This was 2 weeks before I felt the call of God. It was a month after God said, you need to be in the ER, and I just kind of, it just went in one ear and out the other,
right?
You
right.
know, and I wasn't even thinking about it. But that's how that thought of even the knowledge that APC was going to have a clinic, And so I just got a download of, hey, you need to check this mm-hmm. out. Called Kim. We met that same day, the Sunday. And it was just clear that that's where God was calling us.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you know, I'm sure even just from watching it from afar, like, you know, launching a clinic, there's a lot of work that's involved. There's a lot of difficult things that have to be worked out. There's a lot of, you know, steps that you have to go through. But having that call, it really does help us when it does come time to work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And throughout we've been going 3 years now, just shy of 3 years. And, you know, there's been a lot of times when this has been very difficult, very much outside my box, very much growing just from a professional, you know, medicine standpoint, but even more so from a spiritual standpoint and really trusting God and really pressing in and listening, because mm-hmm. none of us wanted to invite him into something we wanted.
Right.
We only wanted to be doing what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes some really serious listening and readjusting. That's what we've been doing. Feel like we are on the right path, but I think we could have easily been going in any direction.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It's almost like you're in medical school again, but God's medical school. I don't know if it was you or Kim that said, we listen to the Holy Spirit and we listen to the patient.
Yes, that's, I'll even tell my patients, you know, I'm listening with one ear to you, I'm listening one ear to the Holy Spirit. He knows our bodies better than we do. He know what knows what the problem is. So that is my approach to coming into a patient. And again, that's all new. You know, I was 25 years in an ER where it was fast paced, no time to mm-hmm. talk to people, you know, short of figure out what the problem is and then get them moving. So the prayer and listening to God at the moment was not something that I had practiced. I was strong in my faith during those years, but it wasn't something that I would share with my patients.
Really. Okay. Yeah. But the Lord, because I know, you know, retreating and listening is a very important part of your walk, but the Lord had been working on that in your personal life. And then now it's like you're in this part where you get to like marry those two passions or those two purposes in your heart.
Yes. Yes. It the integrity of my life, you know, from where it was of this church deeply a devoted follower of Jesus and emergency doctor in two different camps has now melded, right?
Yeah.
And I can sit back and say, I wish it would have happened, you know, on day one of ER, but God has used everything. He uses everything for our good.
Amen.
And so I'm just happy to be where I am now.
Amen. Yeah. That's something, even like when I look at pieces of my own life, there are times where I feel tempted to say, oh, I wish this had happened before, but I have this knowing that from the Lord that it's like, but no, this is the time. Like I have a time for you for these different things.
Yes.
And so if you're listening to this and you're, you know, the Lord's given you a vision or a call, know that you can entrust him with that. And he's going to play that out in your life, in his time, in his way. You just need to stop. You just need to stop and listen. So Dr. Littlefield, you're now in this place where you can practice medicine with the Lord at his direction. And we heard some stories on Sunday that were very powerful, where you see that we are this spiritual being, we are a physical being, we're an emotional being, but it's all one unit. And I don't think anyone after hearing that or just listening to you or even just reading the Bible, it's like it would be wrong of us to separate those three. Tell us a little bit of the journey where you started to really see that really play out. And it's like, okay, this is the only way for us to approach these situations.
I'd say 60% of the patients I saw, the reason for mm-hmm. their illness or for their injury or for their self-injury was anxiety, was anxiety or mental health, you know, kind of thing. So I always knew there was this underlying component, and I'm just addressing the physical part mm-hmm. of it, right? And so I always knew that was there. When we started, it was from day one of God in giving me a vision of having a medical clinic that has him at the forefront, which was 3.5 years ago, is when I saw, he just kind of put it on, you know, we know this, you know, we are physical, emotional, spiritual beings. And if any one of those is out of whack, right, there's going to be unhealth. And it just almost flowed out of me at that point.
That's so cool. And then hearing those stories on Sunday, obviously it's like, you know, Jeff Daniels' story of his mother-in-law, that was extremely powerful. And there are verses in the Bible that speak to these things, like a broken spirit dries up the bones.
Yes.
And it's not just metaphorical, like that's actually what happens. And then we know the cause is, like, you know, unforgiveness. It's like we're taking these burdens into ourselves, and science speaks to this. Like, you can find, like, when I've looked at like scientific journals, like you'll find research studies that support the idea that your emotional and spiritual health will impact your physical health.
Yes.
And so now we're in this place where we get to do that. But one question I did feel that I wanted to ask you is, what happens, how would you process with someone who is like they're not seeing that healing, but they do feel that they've reached a place of wholeness in their spirit? How do we walk that out with the Lord?
Yeah, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's certainly disappointment on their part, and there's guilt, and there's a whole range of issues. I don't have the answers, frankly.
Right.
I think Jesus dying for us on the cross is the answer.
He
cares about us. He is sacrificed. So keeping that in mind and approaching someone with those hurts or chronic illnesses that just aren't getting better, it's with sensitivity, with compassion, and even just that. A lot of folks that have these kind of chronic issues have been brushed off,
right,
and it almost feels like to them, I think, that they're just that they're crazy or that nobody cares about them, and that is so far from the truth when it comes to God. So just approaching them from a standpoint of a reminder that, hey, God is in this and he really does care, and really you're healed, you know. At some point in God's perspective, you're healed.
Amen.
It's just a matter of embracing and trusting God in that. And do we see it this side of eternity or not? I don't know. You know, we certainly that's what we're praying for. That's what we're working for.
Yeah.
Whether it's through prayer or through, you know, physical medicine that God has blessed our society with coming up with.
But that's where I really think that it's so cool to see what you're doing, and in the river, and Kim, is, you know, there's something in us as humans, like we want to find the formula. We want to find the thing that works every time. But when you read the stories of Jesus, it's like every healing was so unique. Every healing was so different. What was in common is that Jesus was the healer. But I'm thinking of the story where his disciples, like, they're asking about a man who was born blind. And so their immediate question is like, okay, so who sinned?
Right.
Him or his parents? Because we know sin, it causes problems. Mm. And Jesus says, neither.
That's not the right question.
Right. This is not the right question. And so Jesus is always doing that in us. And it's like your healing and like my healing is so customized to me.
Yes.
And so if you're listening and you're getting discouraged, because I think sometimes for some people when they hear stories of healing, it just discourages them because they're like, well, where's my miracle?
Yes.
Know that Jesus is your healer, and that he's walking this out with you. And in the same way that the Apostle Paul prayed to God about his thorn in the flesh, you know, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. So God's grace is present with you in your circumstance. But that's for you to discover. It's not for any human physician or pastor to discover for you. Like that's the thing, is like we grow in intimacy with the Lord.
Yes. And I just encourage those who are suffering to.
Yes.
You know, you have two choices. We all have two choices. One is to take offense at God, or the other is to embrace him and draw closer. Mm. And that's where you're going to get your, whether it's physical healing or not, it's going to be where you get your emotional and spiritual healing. And he is worthy of,
amen,
of that.
Amen. So is the river taking patients at this time? For anyone who's wondering.
We are, yes. It would be nice to add on another physician. And so we're starting to reach the fuller part.
Yeah, you could only have so many on your panel.
We could work like a lot of medical practices and just see patients every 10 minutes. That's not what we want to do. That's not what we've been called to do. We need to take time with patients. So there are limits, but absolutely, we're still taking patients.
That's awesome. So cool. All right, so let's just dive into week two.
Yeah.
Pastor Zach is in Hebrews chapter 6. And this overall theme is about maturity. So we're all being called to maturity. Pastor Zach says, like, maturity is seeing the fullness and the completion of Christ played out in our lives, in our mm-hmm. walk. And he cautions us, like, if you're not maturing, well, then you're kind of going the other way. So there's this call to continue to press into him.
Yes. I love we're pressing in. We're also looking at the positive and not the negative.
Yes.
Right? So,
yeah.
So I'm convinced that there's better things for you. And I think, yeah, I mean, there are better things, right? So if we're growing, if we're going forward, they may be harder things.
Right.
I see it in my own life in this practice.
Same.
You know, these are harder things that I'm doing. It's harder to press in some areas, but that's where the growth comes from, and that's where the intimacy with Jesus comes from. So
let's talk about that for a bit. So Pastor Zach paused on that first sentence. We are convinced, and he only spoke through three verses, like two or three verses the whole morning, which was amazing. But that first point that he emphasizes, we are convinced of better things concerning you. So the author or authors is saying this to those who are reading, that they are convinced of better things concerning the believers that were reading it and also us today. And so Pastor Zach said that we are to prophesy the fullness of transformation in Jesus. And I think there's two pieces to this. Before we get to seeing it in others, I think it's important that we see that in ourselves. Like, are we convinced? Am I convinced of better things for me?
Yeah, I think that's the starting place for everything, mm-hmm. right? Is our intimate relationship with God. If we really understand how much he loved us, how much he sacrificed for us, we are children of the King, and have everything that has been put on Christ is ours now.
Yeah.
But for a lot of folks, that's a hard place to be.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know in your life, the practice of taking retreats or taking space for yourself in the Lord, it's something that's super important to you. And it's something that you recommend to others. How would you say that practice would help us in learning to see and believe for better things for us?
I think it's very difficult for someone who has trouble believing that they are loved.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult for them to hear that from me or you or anyone else other than God.
Right.
And so in order to hear from God, you need to make space. And so for me, that means part of my rhythm of walking with God is taking a quarterly retreats for an overnight, and just sitting. Every single one looks different. Sometimes I'm reading the Bible, reading a book, just listening, just taking a walk, whatever. But with the intention of hearing from God and just putting myself in a yielded position, and that has been the single most powerful area of growth or reason for growth in my spiritual life is those times alone with God.
And that's just you. Your wife isn't part of that. It's just you and the Lord.
It's just me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's in the past few years, I've been inviting other people into that space, but we're still separate and doing it on our own. And we might get together in the evening to debrief, but yeah, it really needs to be just you.
It's amazing. I've been part of settings like that, not to that extreme, but that does sound something like I would like to do. And what I've found is as I've, tuned out from the voices in my life, and it's not that these people in our life are bad. No, mm-hmm. they're good, and they're placed in our lives by the Lord in many, many, many ways, like pastors, parents, friends. But as I've taken, turned down those voices for a bit and tuned into what the Lord was saying and really received how he sees me and what he's calling me to, I find that a lot of my selfish ambition or the striving within me, it stops because you start to understand, oh, the only thing I really was made for is communing with Jesus.
Yes.
And receiving from Jesus. And then I can go out and be Jesus.
Yeah.
And from that place, it's so much easier for me to then believe and be convinced of better things in other people and for other people.
Yes. I think if you read some of the stories of the old saints, the Desert Fathers, who were the masters of
yes.
retreating, they would go away for months, and when they mm-hmm. come out of that time with God, there would be miracles happening all around them,
right.
Because of that closeness. Now, I mean, that this is extreme, right? I recognize even my going away for a night on a quarterly basis is something that's most people have a lot of trouble doing. So that's not where you start when you're trying to retreat.
Right. Yeah,
you start with a 15-minute, quiet, phone shut off, no mm-hmm. interruptions type of place, and you work your way into that.
Yeah.
And even that gives God a chance to speak. So although I think prolonged times is very helpful, don't get discouraged by the fact that you can't do that right now or that you can't keep your mind quiet
right.
for that time.
Right. And you listen every day, right?
Yes,
you have to take time every day. It's not you just don't do this four times a year.
Yeah,
that would be crazy. But it's, I think that what we have to be reminded of is like in some ways, like that's like the biggest faith act that we can take every day is to, okay, at least I know for me who's I'm very busy. I'm very good at filling my time and finding someone to talk to. I love talking with people. But it takes faith to say, okay, I'm not going to go find an answer from someone. I'm going to stop. And I'm just going to connect with the Lord.
Yes. Yes. I think we were, part of even the verse of convinced mm-hmm. of better things concerning you. It's as we come closer to God, as we mm-hmm. begin to believe that we are beloved, Our role, our job is to call that out in others as well. Mm. And so if I have that space, if my mind is in a space where, man, my problems are not always at the forefront, but
yeah.
it's actually my soul is still, I can see God in others and be able to call that out.
Mm. Amen. Amen. And one point of application that Pastor Zach brought up that I wanted to emphasize again is, he called us to assess what lies we are believing. And I've noticed with me, like that is so true. It's when there's an area in my life that isn't working or when I'm struggling with a certain sin or a certain problem, there's at the root of it, there is a lie that I believed or some false promise that I'm hanging on to.
Yes. And sometimes in a retreat setting, God might bring that up. But I found in my life more often it's people around me that are able to identify
agree.
That. Right.
I agree.
So that's
yeah.
not what I identify in
the
those
retreats.
Quiet times.
Yeah. Like no. I see this playing out. It's like in the quiet time, I become more confirmed on my identity in Christ and my relationship with Christ. And who I am. And then it's in the community of believers where we have this mutuality
yeah.
with one another, where you're like, hey, I've seen this in your life. I used to do that too. But that's really a lie, and that's not going to work for you. This is what the Lord did in me. And I'm reminded of that verse where Paul says, like, we comfort with the same comfort that we have received.
Mm, yes.
Okay, so moving on, we come to this next point, and Pastor Zach, this was a more unique one. I'm still kind of trying to flesh it out for myself, but he tied God's justice to the work of that we've done. And God's consideration of our work, Pastor Jack says, God's consideration of our work is a product of his justice. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think I'm still wrestling with this as well, but I remember, I'll give you a personal example, is when I'm doing this marriage intensive
yeah.
right now and thinking back on some of the difficult years of Maggie and our marriage, first years were fairly difficult. One of the things, we were both involved in church leadership. Mm. I was leading missions and retreats and having just good success in ministry, but our marriage was falling apart. And I went to God with this, hey, my attitude was, I'm doing all these things right. for you. It seemed unjust that you weren't letting my marriage mm. work, right? And I think a little bit this is a reminder of that whole idea is God is in his justice he does see those things that we're
right.
doing but he doesn't guarantee that he's going to bless every year of our life
right.
because of that but a just God does see those things mm-hmm. and they haven't gone empty
yeah
and that whole. Probably just to finish that is that whole time of my difficult marriage life, it ended in the marriage didn't end, but the difficulty ended in me recognizing that I'm seeing God in the wrong way. I'm seeing mm-hmm. him as this judgmental grandfather in the
right.
sky, as opposed to a loving father who is in this with me. And so when I look at this verse, I think of that. Sometimes it's like, man, you owe me something, God, because I'm doing this stuff. And that's not his justice.
Mm. No, it's not. But he does care for us, and he wants us to grow, and he wants us to grow into good works. The mm. Bible says, like, he's prepared these good works for us in advance.
Yes.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking of, you know, if I'm a father, or I'm working with, like, a little toddler, mm. and like, they want to help. They want to help, like, you know, mom and dad. They want to help, you know, do all the big things, and you know, sometimes they might want to try and help in a way that's, like, beyond them, like,
right.
they're trying to, like, well, I was trying to, like, you know, take the cookies out of the oven, but it fell, right?
Right.
And you know, God is a loving father, like, he's like, okay, I consider that you were doing this good thing, but there's a maturity in you, a growth in you mm-hmm. that has to take place mm-hmm. For you to be successful in helping mommy and daddy take the cookies out of the oven.
Yes.
And recognizing that patience, recognizing that he is committed to us, I think is so important mm. As we grow in maturity. So then the last point is that we talk about realizing and actualizing this hope that we have. And to me, that's key, because this is where all of this maturity is driving us to a certain point. It's driving us to live from this place of hope, and not just for ourselves, but to reach those who don't know Jesus.
Yes, yes. Which really goes back to the beginning of this, is convinced of better things.
Mm.
There is hope, and there's hope for physical health or emotional, spiritual growth
Amen.
And maturing. And in the maturing comes more acting,
mm-hmm.
lack of sluggishness, I think is the way this
yeah.
is described,
yep.
right? So, and more impact on those folks around you, more kingdom impact.
Amen. And Pastor Zach said, he made the point that everyone in the room is called to ministry. What would you say to that?
No question. Yes. each one of us has gifts given to us by God, and places of influence where someone else doesn't have. It may not, it's not going to look the same for everybody. Actually, it probably look different for every single person. I think I know myself, and I think a lot of folks try to compare or look at, you know, leaders above us or people around us who are doing ministry and think, oh, I'm not doing it that way. Well, you weren't designed to do it that way. And really seeking God, and oftentimes through other people, seeking those gifts, those passions that he's given us, having other people call them out in us is really the way you do that, get into that ministry.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I also loved what Pastor Zach, he gave a little practical example on, you know, he's just applying this in our Bible reading. He's like, you know, read a few verses, meditate on a few verses, learn to discipline your mind. And it's just calling us to this intentional way of living, of being. Well, Dr. Littlefield, it's been awesome having you with us this week. Before we close, is there any encouragement that you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, I think it's so easy to get discouraged, especially in our society. It's so easy to be filled with fear or go down the road of fear and anxiety. And that is not what God wants for us. And there is hope. There is hope in him and for every single person out there. And even if it doesn't feel that way right now, there is. So reach out, you know, spend time with him, reach out with folks that are positive influences in your life, and you're going to see a difference. God is faithful.
Amen. Would you bless us in prayer?
Yeah. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for maturing us and bringing us to closer and closer intimacy with you. Thank you for the way you love us and the way you've designed us to be able to just use those gifts and you've given us abilities that we can't even imagine in order to further your kingdom, in order to bless others, in order to glorify you. And I just pray for that for every single person listening, that they would sense that, they would come into a greater calling and a greater sense of maturity. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dr. Littlefield.
All right, thanks.
All right, family, so go out there, be intentional with the Lord, be disciplined, allow him to speak to you, speak in those places of your heart. Let him tell you who you are, and go out and live with the hope, the calling that you have. And we'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on hope.